obsessed.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Fuck me. I'm Ash.
I'm Laura.
What does the pod in podcast mean?
I have no idea.
It's got to mean something, right? Why have I never thought about this?
What does podcast...
Portable on demand.
Aww. Okay.
I typed in pod in podcast, and then the next autofill was, what does pod in podcast mean? And then I click it and it said portable on demand.
There oh, see, no, I type whole questions into Google.
Oh, you're my grandmother.
Have you been following this Tullamarine case with the four people found dead?
What?
Have you not heard about this?
Oh my God, I thought you'd be all over it.
No, yesterday, four people were found dead in a house in Tullamarine. It was a mother and her three kids.
I'm recording. Okay. So lean in and tell me about it. What do you, like, here?
Yeah.
In Melbourne.
Melbourne, Tullamarine.
I mean, I don't really watch the news.
Oh, it's all over Facebook. It's all over everywhere. It's really, really tragic.
I'm not on Facebook either. Is it on Twitter?
It's on
probably not.
Everything. Do you follow, like, Nine News or anything on Twitter?
No, but I probably should. I don't know.
It's right. I'll tell you about it. So,
yeah, tell me.
This is...
I'm going to see if it's trending on Twitter while you do that.
Yes, because they... No, don't look at it yet because I'll tell you what they found.
Okay.
Yeah. So yesterday they found a house in Tullamarine, which is where we... In Melbourne, where we record the podcast, which is why I'm like, Ashley, are you under this?
I can't believe it. No.
But they found a family, like a mother and three kids, all found dead. Which is just horrifying. But the father found them and, like, made a frantic call to the police. And then everyone's sitting there being like, oh, my God, the father did it. They've just, like, preliminary findings are saying murder-suicide, that the mother did it.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Which everyone, like, the whole neighborhood was shocked. Like, they were all doing, like, everyone was crying doing interviews yesterday. They're like, they were literally out riding bikes in the street the night before. Like, we just don't know what's happened. And they seem like a beautiful family. And...
How old were the kids?
Oh, like, I think it's like 3, 5, and 7.
Right.
Yeah, like super young, just...
How weird.
I know, like this... We're not making light of it, obviously, but it's just like, we don't get things like this here really that often.
No, it's never like more than like one person that's like in the middle of the night in the city or in a fight or something.
Oh, we get lots of fights.
Usually, yeah, well, like that's usually like when it says somebody dead after blah, 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 it's usually, you know, they've gotten into a bar fight or something. It's usually how Australians.
Yeah, or if it's like multiple people are dead, it's usually like gang related or it's like... like a fight in a house, but they're all adults or something. So like everyone is just devastated about this case, but they had the father in custody last night for questioning. Like he wasn't arrested or anything, but he needed medical treatment at the scene. Like he was that just distraught about it. And
yeah,
it's all just horrible.
Wow. That's crazy. I didn't even like, and that's in the last few days.
This literally happened like yesterday. They were found at like 12:20 PM. But it also took them hours to process the scene. Like, they were still there at, like, 6 p.m. And they were, like, they'll be here for hours. The whole street was sectioned off. Like, it was a big event.
There is nothing. It's not trending on Twitter.
It bloody well should be. No, I heard it on the radio over here. They were just talking about the new findings. And they're still preliminary, so they're still doing things. But that's the direction it's looking. And the father was a person of interest. But wasn't a suspect.
17 minutes ago, mother held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's so sad.
It is really sad. It's just horrible.
If you're going to kill yourself, don't take others with you.
I know. That's not fair. I mean, that's the horrible thing, though. Like, you don't know if she had postpartum or something. You don't know if she had... What was going
after on? After 3 years, the most recent.
I mean, it can happen.
I thought that was more of an infant thing.
Generally, but it can last up to a few years. But yeah, it's just horrible. Absolutely horrible.
That's weird. Like, one of the last actions she did was like drop off a bag of plums to her neighbors.
Yeah, that's why everyone was so shocked. They were like, you know, the family was out in the street the night before. We literally saw them just before everything like that. Like, everything was completely fine.
So weird.
It is really weird. That's why I'm emphasizing words like preliminary findings. And
yeah,
you know, this is very, very early. So, you know, more stuff will probably come out as they go and we may learn more. But
I feel like when you hear about, I guess I've never really looked at it. I probably will find out relatively soon when I start uni again about like what our actual crime rate for murders and stuff is. But I feel like it's relatively low compared to like the States.
Everywhere is low compared to the States.
So yeah, that's crazy. That's, you just don't hear about stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that's why like this crime in particular, apart from Ashley, apparently like everyone knows about it. Everyone's like, everyone's just devastated. Everyone's freaking out about it. Everyone wants to know what happened. Like, it's just not something we're used to.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. Like, don't get me wrong, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of local news.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was.
Something a bit lighter is Laura has just walked into the new Podlab setup.
Yeah.
For the first time. So
I gave a thorough review that I really liked it.
So we finally got like a little bit more of probably a permanent setup now in the pod lab. We have like a specific desk and
it's up higher too. So.
Yeah, so it's like a high rise table that like we're on either side of.
I said that it reminded me of like, you know, when you go into bars and stuff, they have the high tables and like we're literally sitting on stools right now.
Bar stools, yeah.
Yeah. So it's very casual. I like it.
Yeah, but it's a little bit more permanent. We were sort of shifting things around and
yeah.
Everything was a bit, I guess, tighter before.
Yeah.
So it's all shifted, so that was my weekend project, but it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. And that's kind of everything that's happened.
I had my birthday, thank you very much.
Oh yeah. Well, I feel like, I think because I spoke to you then.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should have, this is annoying because like it came out, we should have said something on the last one, but I didn't do the fact that it was coming out earlier. So this is now.
This is now like a week later.
This is now like more than.
Is it?
Yeah, because this comes out not this Sunday, but the Sunday after.
It's like 2 weeks later.
This is why my brain hurts. So really your birthday was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, my birthday was on the 12th. So whatever date two Saturdays from now is, that's when it's coming out. Anyways.
Yeah, something like that. I really can't figure it out. I can't work it out in my head.
No, it's just a bit complicated. Well, because this is our catch-up one, because we usually like to be one episode ahead just in case someone gets sick or someone has a busy week or, you know, we can keep putting out content and we don't miss an episode. But this is our little extra one we're doing because it's currently Friday and we don't usually record on a Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of made my brain. And also it's earlier. It's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah. We usually do 6 if it's during the week.
Yeah.
We've just thrown ourselves completely.
Fuck. Very strange. At least I remembered.
This is true.
That's a positive.
Yes.
Who goes first?
I think you do.
Are we sure?
Because I did.
Did I do the Cannibal Housewife? What was your story last week?
I don't remember. I don't remember either.
I'm editing it tonight, so I haven't even heard it yet.
Oh, yeah. Mine was the ghosty one with the dude in the raining walls. And
the ghosty one. All ghosty of yours one. Are kind of ghosty.
Well, I mean, most of them, except I diverted. So now I'm making a big thing about doing ghosty things. But right. Yeah, mine was with the raining walls and.
Wet boy.
Yeah, and you hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still do.
Yeah. And I did that first, so I'm pretty sure that means.
So it's my turn to go first. Yes. Okay. Woo-hoo. Well, I wanted to do, like, there are so many big. Oh, hold on.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I had, like, a weird binge yesterday, I guess,
awesome.
Of Netflix things.
Yeah.
So I watched the Zodiac movie, finally.
Yes, you messaged me about that.
Very good.
It was good, right?
Yes. Also, I didn't realize, like, Robert Downey Jr., Jake Gyllenhaal, and Hulk. I want to keep calling him Bruce Banner.
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, yep. Thank you. I didn't realize it was, like, full of a bunch of famous people. And there's probably other famous people. I think I saw some other famous faces that I'm terrible with names.
Oh, yeah. It was actually a really big movie. But
if they're not in the Marvel Universe, I don't remember their
name.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. But I didn't realize it had all those famous people in it. And I was like, hold on, what?
Yeah, why have I... I did the same thing. I was like, how have I not heard of this movie when I first watched it? And I was just like, this is a big movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I loved it. I need to rewatch it, actually, because I remember the first half really well, and I don't know why I don't remember the second half.
Yeah, so I watched that. That was great. I had a good time. Had a really good conversation with Tanner about it afterwards, which was really nice.
Yeah.
But then I also smashed out all of The New Night Stalker.
I'm dying to watch that.
It's really good.
See, I saw an article come up and it was like, even true crime fans are saying it's too much. So I was really curious to hear what you thought of it.
No, I mean, I don't think so.
Okay.
I feel like, so at the start, I was like a little bit pissed off because the production value of it was really high, but like it had this weird like douchey vibe to it.
Oh, really?
Just the way that, like, they intro the detectives, it's like, bum, 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 with, like, oh slow, God. And, like, he's sitting at the bar and his head just, like, turns really slowly and the music's really dramatic, and I was like,
Guys, why?
Yeah. But, like, the way they did it, I thought it was really good. They do show a lot of the crime scene photos, and...
Okay. Maybe that's what people...
When people say, like, true crime fans, I guess that people that, like...
The delicate
The
ones.
Concept? Yeah. The concept of being a true crime fan, but like
the ones that don't sit there googling coffee table books of crime scene photos like we did last time.
Yes. That's exactly it. Remind me to buy them for myself at some point.
I will.
But yeah, so it showed all like the actual crime scene photos, but it was done in a, I find, quite an interesting way, where it was like there was crime scenes that they'd sort of I don't really know how to phrase it. I'm going to say digitally rendered, but I don't think that's right. To make it look like it was a video or like a 3D sort of image of it rather than just the flat image. Like there were some, it was really cool. So and I like, guarantee would have been very expensive to do.
Wow. So they kind of remastered it, but in a 3D kind of way.
Sort of. And only some of them. Oh. When like placing and stuff was important from like bird's eye view kind of thing.
That's
the way
interesting.
That was really, really cool. But they also did it in a way where like anything too graphic in terms of like the actual like head wound, they put like a superimposed duct tape sort of thing over it. Hold on. I have to. Milo.
Bipod dog.
She needs to wear socks if she's going to be in here.
Yes. I would like to see
little
that.
Little tiny shoes. High heels make it worse. They would put block out tape or like bars and stuff over the eyes and things like that so that you couldn't see like the actual full face. But it was done in like a really fucking expensive digital CGI-ish kind of way without it looking tacky. I don't know, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, I mean
the cinematography was really good. They had the actual like victims' families and stuff like that. They had one of Ramirez's I think it was his youngest victim. She was 6 years old.
Oh.
And she was interviewed.
Wow.
And she's throughout the whole thing. And she's fucking great. She is so cool. Like,
oh, my gosh.
And she's just like, you know, I had a family. And, like, just the way that she talks about it, like, she's very, like, she knows exactly what she needs to say sort of to get the feelings and stuff across, but not in a way that you're like, oh, this is hard to watch. Like she does it in a really informative, like
very eloquent. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. How old was she now?
Don't make me do math. Okay. I don't know. Sorry.
Like, is she an adult now?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Like she's married, got kids, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So. Cause I don't know when these crimes happened. So I'm like, well, if she was six, she'd be
it's like the 70s and 80s.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So she's like 40
she's
or something now. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Math. shit. But it's really cool as well because, like, the way that they follow the investigation, like, they don't refer to Ramirez until the episode where, in the investigation, they know who he is.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's, like, the little bit by bit of information and, like, one of the lead detectives who is just absolutely, like, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, but he should never be allowed to be on camera.
Why? Like,
there's a video of him during the original investigation where he's, like, giving out the description and stuff like that, and it's just the most awkward, painful thing I've ever watched.
Oh,
it's
no.
So funny. But, like, I don't really get, like, bad dreams or anything after I watch stuff like this, but I watched the first episode and then I went to bed and I did.
Wow.
But it wasn't necessarily because of the way it was made. It was just like this one part that I fell asleep during that my brain got stuck on. So I watched half an episode of How I Met Your Mother and it reset my brain. I was fine.
Okay.
But then I smashed out the rest of it.
Yeah.
The next day. And I was just like, I just need to keep watching it. Like, it was, I know the story, but I need to keep watching it. I thought it was very, very good.
Oh, I'm keen to watch
this now. I think you'll I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Like, obviously, it's The Night Stalker. Richard Ramirez is a trigger warning on it anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, it's made very well.
Yeah. No, I'll be watching it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So it was quite good.
Oh, I'm so keen now.
Yeah.
I hate that feeling when, like, a new crime, like, documentary show or anything comes out and you get excited for it and it's just a bit shit.
Mm.
And you're just like, I'm deflated.
Yeah. But now I'm finding I don't really have something next to watch.
Yeah, unfortunately, because of COVID, like, production stopped on a lot of things. And yeah. So we are getting, like, this slow rollout of things again.
Like, I have other stuff I could watch, but, like, I've watched most of the true crime things on Netflix.
Oh, I finished Netflix. I'm now on YouTube where I watch, like, a bunch of different channels and just different things. Like,
I haven't checked Stan.
Stan doesn't have a lot. Mm. They have a couple of, like, prison-y things. They have the Dez show that I told you about.
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm. Yes. Yeah. I need to watch that. Okay. That's next.
There you go. That's a mini series, though. You'll finish that really quick.
That's fine.
Yeah. But that's really good.
Something. Yeah. So that's my, I don't know if, do we do a recommendation?
We've kind of started
something.
I like it.
Yeah.
You can just, little updates when we've watched something good.
I did just watch the, it's called The Innocent Man. That's on Netflix too. That was quite good. That was made well.
Watch that one.
I don't know, there's a book about it, but I really want to read Zodiac now. I want to read the book. Yeah.
Is that the one where they just cracked the code as well?
Am I thinking? There was mathematician
from Australia,
and a bunch of other guys cracked another one of Zodiac's codes.
Mm,
which so I think I was there's very excited about. That's the second one. So the first one was cracked like almost immediately.
Yeah, they did that one.
And that one's in the movie. That was cracked by a school teacher, which I think is great. and then, yeah, the second one was only just recently cracked, like, in December.
Yeah, and something. It was like he numbered each letter of each word in this, like, wasn't it like the Declaration of Independence or something? It was something.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Okay,
sounds like a Nicolas Cage movie.
It pretty much was. Like, I don't know if it was that. I know it was a document of some importance in America, and then it corresponded to the code, and that's how figured it out. Yeah, which I'm like, of all the documents, you found that one, and it worked.
Right, let's have a look. Yeah, Sam Blake cracked it.
Yeah, I'm just very third one because he was Australian.
Oh, wow. So they used the University of Melbourne supercomputer named Spartan to solve it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't see anything about a document.
Okay. I will try and source where I read that.
It was done using a program that pulled out, 650,000 different directions, and, like, they wasn't really doing anything. And then one of the searchers uncovered the only sort of thing that really made sense was the words gas chamber,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it was in there together. Then they reworked the key. It says, corrected an error Zodiac made in his diagonal enumeration of the second vertical segment of the cipher. So okay. The Zodiac fucked up his own cipher, and then they were able to get something out of it. That's why it had never been solved, because the Zodiac fucked it up.
Oh. Yeah, if you're going to be a serial killer and use ciphers, make sure you get them right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people are just sitting there like, guys, we can't solve it. And it's like, oh, fuck, I was supposed to put this instead of that.
Yeah, he has to send another letter that's just like, please change.
It's like, oh, guys, I fucked it up.
It just is big revised in the front of the letters.
It is. Wow. Here's a version 2, okay?
2.0. Oh.
Oh my god.
Anyway, yeah, so they did that and that was great.
Yeah, we're very excited. I just get really excited when people from Australia do cool things.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm part of it. I'm not, but sure. Just feel like it.
Yeah, like we're important. Okay, so now that we've just spent 25 minutes or whatever it is Googling.
We had things to talk about.
We did have things to talk about. Wait, did we establish I was going first?
Yes.
Okay. I needed to check.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the story of Abraham Shakespeare.
Awesome name.
It is.
That's all I want to say.
Yeah. Abraham Lee Shakespeare, born April 23, 1966, was a Florida native who grew up relatively poor.
Okay.
He dropped out of school in the seventh grade without having to learn to read or write. In his youth, he committed a string of minor burglaries and was convicted and served time for them.
So by the seventh grade, he couldn't read or write?
Well, I'm assuming probably a bit, just not like fluently.
Right, okay.
Yeah. On his release, he joins the local labor pool and works labor intensive jobs to earn money.
Okay.
On the 15th of November 2006, Abraham and his co-worker and friend Michael Ford were on their way to Miami. They stopped in a place called Frostproof, which I think is quite funny because it's in Florida.
Which is hot.
Yeah. Anyway,
man, they thought about that one.
Yeah. At a convenience store where Ford was going to buy something to drink and some cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham instead asks if Ford can buy him two lottery tickets. He does. One of these tickets would end up being worth the jackpot prize of $30 million. At the time, in 2006, this was approximately 38.5 million Australian.
Okay.
So 30 million US then was about closer to 40 for us.
Right. Okay.
If we inflate that to 2021 cash, it's closer to 48 million Australian.
Oh my God. I would really like to have that in my bank account so I could just look at it and just feel like secure forever.
Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? So, with the Florida lottery, as I'm sure with many others, Abraham could choose to have 30 mil paid out in 30 installments over 30 years,
mm-hmm.
which is a million a year. Yes, fucking please.
Yeah, yep, that'll do me.
Or he could have a one-time lump sum payment of 17 million before tax.
Okay.
The tax, and I did this math by myself, so don't fucking at me.
Okay.
It's about 25% according to the IRS of 2006. Yes, I went on government websites and tried to do this math myself.
I'm impressed by how thorough you've been.
Thank you. 25% of 17 mil is about 4.25.
Okay.
Meaning his actual in-bank winnings was only about 12.75 million. And I know I say only, like, yes, that's a shit ton of money, but it's also a lot less than 30 million.
Yeah, it is.
Right. And I don't know why I did this extra math past that point, but if he had chosen the 1 million per year over the lump sum, he would, over 30 years, have ended up with in-bank cash of 19.5 million, which is still over $600,000 a year. And I did that on the basis okay. of he's getting 1 million paid out by the lottery every year before tax.
Okay.
So I don't know if the stipulation was before or after in terms of the 1 million, but
mm-hmm.
that's what it ends up being. Anyway.
Right. Okay.
Likely incorrect, math aside. Patience is a virtue and the lottery system is corrupt. Just watch the 2005 The Island from Michael Bay.
Okay.
I'm glad you found that funny. I really like that joke. Back to Abraham.
Right.
So fuck yeah. This dude who has come from nothing suddenly has the money for anything. You'd be happy as hell, right?
Hell yeah.
Well, not quite.
Oh my God.
Not long after Abraham's win, Michael Ford, the friend who physically bought the tickets, demands a share in the winnings.
Mm-hmm.
He did, after all, buy them.
Okay.
Michael Ford asked Abraham for $1 million.
Seems reasonable.
Abraham asks Ford to be patient, but Ford returns to him only days later demanding the money.
Mm.
So Abraham says no.
Right. Okay.
The refusal prompts his former friend to sue him.
Oh, God.
Ford claims Abraham stole the tickets from his wallet. Abraham counters saying he paid for them $1 each or $2 in total from the whole $5 he had in his ownership that day.
Money does terrible things to people.
It does, right?
Yeah.
Michael Ford loses his case.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Legally.
So now Abraham was not stingy with his winnings. It appears it was more about how the financial help was asked for as to whether he would give his wealth a workout or not. And during the lawsuit, a friend of Abraham's, Michael Strong, testified Abraham had helped him out with bills and debts to around $7,000. Abraham had also paid off another friend's mortgage that was about to be foreclosed on.
Aww.
He had paid up on his child support. He created a $1 million trust for his son. He gave his stepsisters $250,000 each. He paid off a 60 grand mortgage for a man whose last name he didn't even know. and a $53,000 mortgage of a man out of the neighborhood that everybody sort of knew.
Mm-hmm.
He bought a $125,000 house near Lake Wales that he had seen only once and rented it to some tenants he had met only once.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his brother's son's best friend $40,000. He gave his mother $12,000 and his sister $10,000. He wrote cashier's checks to friends and he paid for funerals.
He's just making it rain.
For himself, he bought two new high-end cars and a $1 million home in a gated community in Lake Wales.
Okay.
So this is kind of why I did that math earlier, because Abraham was gifting a lot of money.
Yeah, that's adding up at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was becoming kind of obvious to outsiders, the media, and locals in general that Abraham was being leached off of.
Uh-oh.
He was being used by those around him for his winnings. He told his brother, "I'd have been better off broke." Abraham began to tighten his grip around his remaining funds and remove himself from others more and more.
Uh-oh.
I raised my eyebrows. In October of 2008, Abraham is approached by Doris Moore. She goes by Dee Dee, because okay. Who the fuck is still named Doris?
I would go by Dee Dee.
I would go by anything other than Doris. About the prospect of her writing a book about him and his experiences since winning the lottery and how it's changed his life.
Interesting subject.
She's a financial advisor who wants to help people manage their money, and he would be a great example. Abraham accepts Dee Dee's offer, and the two of them work together to start a business and manage Abraham's winnings at the same time.
Okay.
So they set up Abraham Shakespeare LLC.
Okay.
With Dee Dee Moore in control of the funds.
Yeah, that's probably wise at this point.
Unfortunately for Abraham, Moore was not a financial advisor.
Oh, no.
But a bankrupt, convicted criminal who had committed insurance fraud and falsely reported her own kidnap, rape, and carjacking to avoid repossession of her vehicle.
Fuck you, Doris. Did you find that funny, Ashley?
Fuck you, Doris.
I mean, you know, he's won the lottery. Like, he's splashed it on all his pals. He's down on his luck. And then Doris comes in and lies her ass off, just wants to get control of the money. No, dick move.
Yeah, fuck you, Doris.
Yeah, fuck you, Doris.
Yep. Not 2 months. Fuck you, Doris. Yeah, fuck Doris.
Yeah.
So, not 2 months into the business relationship, I put that heavily in air quotes,
yep.
On the 9th of January 2009, the ownership of Abraham's home is transferred to American Medical Professionals, the company, again, heavy air quotes, owned by Dee Dee Moore.
Oh, God.
I now only want to call her Doris.
Yeah, out of spite, because she clearly doesn't like her name, so she's like, no, my name is Dee Dee, but no, her name is Doris.
Okay, we're going to call it, I'm going to fuck that up, but we're going to call her Doris. Okay. the same year, other properties of Abraham's are either sold, heavy air quotes, mm-hmm. or assigned ownership to American Medical Professionals.
What are these medical professionals?
It's just the name of a company. Like, I don't even know what they do or if it's real. I think it's a shell, but anyway.
Yeah.
February 21st, Moore buys a 2008 Corvette for her boyfriend. The car is worth over $70,000.
Oh my God.
March 2nd, 2009, Moore buys a 2009 Hummer for herself for around $90,000.
Of course she does.
Moore claims that these are gifts from Abraham for her help.
Yeah, no.
After all this, Abraham seemingly disappears.
I was about to say, what's Abraham doing all this time?
Chilling in his $1 million home.
Gosh.
I don't know. He doesn't really visit his family or friends. He isn't seen around town, but he's still communicating.
Okay.
He sends a signed card via his cousin to his mother for her birthday. It contains $100 and a crucifix.
Mm.
What a great birthday present. Here's a crucifix for you, Ma.
I have my suspicions at this point.
Family receives texts from him that are cohesive and sort of explain his absence, but when they try and call him, he never answers.
My suspicions are right.
The family sort of accepts this for a while, and after all, he's probably adjusting. He's got all that money now and he has to protect his financial welfare and also make sure he's not being taken advantage of,
mm-hmm.
you know. But something doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
So remember how I said that Abraham dropped out of school in the 7th grade?
Yep.
Well, I also said that he never really learned to read or write.
How's he writing letters to everybody?
Shakespeare was illiterate.
That's an amazing
line. I know.
Whenever you write something into your story that you're just like that little bit proud of, you go like this, and then you say the line, and then you're like...
It's also in italics. So I remember to put the emphasis on the syllable.
Amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So how the fuck was he sending these messages about what he's doing, and how is he having these conversations with his family via text?
Yeah.
Simply, he isn't.
Yeah.
Abraham couldn't have gone from illiterate messages to cohesive conversations in a blink. So Cedric Edom, the cousin that delivered the card to Abraham's mother, files a missing persons report on November 9th, 2009.
Okay.
Polk County Sheriff's Department begins their investigation. Interviews would lead them to... Doris. Good old Doris.
Take that, Doris.
More is questioned on the 12th of November about her financial transactions with Abraham. Why there isn't any proof in her accounts that she's actually paid for any of these assets she now owns.
Mm-hmm.
And her reasoning is she says she paid him in cash.
Oh, did you know?
Yeah. Who doesn't have just $1 million in cash laying around to pay for a home?
Easy.
That's safe.
There should still be cash receipts as well, though.
You'd think so. Some sort of transaction. Yeah.
Particularly for that much money.
Yeah. November 24th, Moore claims that Abraham's name had been removed from ownership of the Abraham Shakespeare LLC accounts to, air quotes, avoid taxes.
Right.
I don't know how that works. She also couldn't give him a reason for the removal of nearly $1 million only a few days after his name was removed.
This sounds sus.
December 3rd, Moore claims that the move of some of Abraham's assets to Moore's business account was so that Abraham, the man who had won millions of dollars, paid up all backdated payments and set up a $1 million trust for his son. Again, heavy air quotes, didn't want to pay child support.
Even though he paid up all of his child support before he met Doris.
And set up a $1 million trust for his son.
I just have a really bad feeling that Abraham is dead.
You must be psychic.
I must be psychic.
Police weren't buying it, much like you.
Okay, good.
Early December, Elizabeth Walker, which is Abraham's mother, receives a letter from him.
Uh-oh.
The letter was written to assure Mrs. Walker that he was fine and everything was okay. The letter was reportedly was long and rambling and said things like, I like being missing. I like my life too much to sit in jail. It praised Moore. Don't worry about Dee Dee, it said. Because she was so honest, she refused to help him skip child support and he simply had too much of a bad rep in Lake Wales to show himself there. But didn't Moore just tell police that she kind of did help him skip child support, though?
Yeah. Right. This is basically like her sending her a letter and being like, Dear Mum and Dad, I'm missing, but it's fine. Don't blame Dee Dee. She's a cool girl.
I love her. Yeah, exactly. So this letter, aside from the confusing story and comments,
okay,
just the existence of the letter was enough to prove to Abraham's family that he was likely dead.
Yeah, the dude couldn't write.
Exactly. Abraham, again I say, was illiterate.
Guys.
He couldn't have written the small text, let alone a whole fucking letter.
Do you know what? In my head, I just picture, you know, like in Elizabethan movies, they have like the fountain pen and they're like scribing these letters and they're all like flamboyant language. That's how I'm picturing these letters in my head.
Right. Well, actually, just skipping forward to come back to it in a minute. There was somebody that was like around while Moore was writing these letters.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that she went out and bought a brand new laptop to write the letter, to type it up.
Mm-hmm.
She wore gloves on the laptop. She bought a new separate external hard drive from the laptop. She wrote it in a like a motel room.
Oh my god.
Yeah. She wore a hairnet while she was writing it, like, so I guess so she wouldn't get hair in the keys. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
And then she drove around and hand delivered it. So the thing that gets me is, one, there's no postage. Two, you hand delivered it, like, in the letterbox. Somebody definitely saw your car, like, yeah, even though it was in the middle of the night. And it's just, oh man, just the...
It's so measured, but with the dumbest mistakes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My god. Okay.
So December 5th, Moore sells her 10-month-old Hummer to a dealership for $49,000. She told the dealer she needed quick cash.
Interesting.
Where'd the money go? Mm. What about the millions you had elsewhere?
Well, exactly.
December 27th, Moore takes Abraham's mother, Elizabeth, out to dinner. While they're out to dinner, Elizabeth receives a phone call. It's from Abraham.
Oh.
Or at least someone pretending to be Abraham.
Yeah, it's not Abraham.
It can't be Moore, though. She was with Elizabeth at dinner when she received the call.
Oh, well, she's cleared then.
What a coincidence.
No worries there.
Don't even worry about it.
Jesus.
December 28th, investigators approach a friend of Abraham's named Gregory Smith. Smith had borrowed money from Abraham and had promised to repay him.
Mm-hmm.
Smith tells investigators rather than have to repay his loan, though, D.D. Moore offered to pay Gregory Smith to help her impersonate Abraham. Smith, it seems, helped her write the letter and he was the one to make the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Smith was now an inside man for the investigation.
Ooh.
Smith reports Moore offered the mother of Abraham's son a home if she told police she had seen him recently.
She's just paying everybody off now.
Mm. January 2010, Moore approaches Smith to see if he knew of someone who would be willing to get paid to confess to the murder of Abraham.
People do that, though.
I know. Oh, it's such God. A weird... Eventually, on the 21st of Jan, Smith would organize a meeting with Mike Smith, a Lake Wales undercover cop.
Uh-oh.
Moore agrees to pay Mike $50,000 if he confesses to the murder of Abraham. Mike agrees to the deal, but manages to convince Moore that to do so convincingly, he'll need to know where Abraham is buried.
Very clever.
4 days later, Moore meets with Gregory Smith and Mike Smith again. She shows them to her boyfriend's home, where out the back of the home was a recently poured concrete slab.
Oh, no.
Moore explains that this is where Abraham is. Moore also gives Gregory Smith a .38 Smith & Wesson revolver. This was the murder weapon.
Mm-hmm.
26th of January, police begin digging at the Plant City home in the search for Abraham's body. January 27th, they find it.
Oh, shit.
The police now interview Moore's ex-husband, James Moore. James makes a statement saying that in the first week of April 2009, Dee Dee had asked him to come to her home, dig a hole in the backyard that was to be used to concrete in some trash she was trying to get rid of. This, after all, was James's business. So, like, he literally dug holes
right.
for people.
Okay.
I think it's called a filler. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah, he's a hole digger. Let's just go with that.
Hole digger club.
Yeah.
James came over, dug the hole and left. 2 hours later, she called him back and he returned to fill in the hole. James Moore claims it was too dark to see what was in it and he never really questioned her.
I don't believe that for a second.
It's also not a responsible way to get rid of trash.
I was about to say, but I wasn't sure. Isn't it illegal to just bury rubbish in your backyard?
I mean, it's 2009. Who knows?
Yeah. Wild times.
Yeah. I mean, there was in the... Just sidetracked in the keeper.
Mm.
That was normal. Like in the 80s, he just buried, like people bury cars and shit in their backyard if they don't want to keep them around or can't get rid of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Apparently it was a thing. Anyway. February 2nd, 2009, mm-hmm. Doris Dee Dee Moore is taken into police custody.
Yay.
February 19th, she is charged with first degree murder.
Good.
March 15th, she pleads not guilty and the court hears recorded conversation between Gregory Smith and Moore as they plan stories and plant evidence. Moore even goes so far as to, at one point, threaten the jury members. She has to be removed from the court.
Because that always goes well.
Yeah. That just screams innocence.
Oh my God.
December 10th, 2012, Doris Dee Dee Moore is found guilty of the murder of Abraham Shakespeare.
I'm just really happy about that.
Yeah. The remaining assets that originally belonged to Abraham and any remaining cash from the lottery winnings are ordered to be returned to Abraham's estate.
Mm-hmm.
And Moore was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, with an additional 25 years for possession of a gun in the course of a violent felony. And that is the story of Abraham Shakespeare.
That's a really sad one. To be honest,
mm.
because it's like, you know, he was so down on his luck. He won the lottery. And then all these people were like, hey, man, can you help me out with this? Hey, man, can you give me some money? You know, and he helped everybody. And then fucking Doris came along and just offed him. And
I think the thing I find the craziest is that he was killed in April.
Mm.
His missing persons report was issued in November.
Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, like he just needs some space. Like, it's fine. Really?
Yeah.
No one thought like, oh, we should go see Abraham. Like,
and nobody thought that him not answering phone calls is weird.
Well, particularly.
But he'll reply to your texts, which he shouldn't have really been able to do.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, if he was illiterate, like, texting and stuff would probably not be his go-to method of communication.
Yeah.
He'd probably rather call because he's not confident. So the fact that they're, like, getting these letters and shit and they're like, yeah, seems legit. Stupid.
Well, the letters did tip him off, but, yeah, the texts and the not doing anything about it for, like, 6 months is kind of insane.
Poor Abraham.
I know.
I feel a bit bad for the guy.
Yeah, at least Dee Dee didn't get away with it.
Yeah, I'm very glad that Doris is going to rot away now.
Yeah.
What a bitch. My turn. Okay, so, as I've already told you this, but I've written my story a little bit differently.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
So, I'm having some brain issues, which just sounds funny, but I am.
Having an extended brain fart.
Yeah. Very accurate description. Basically, I sat down to write my story and I had researched it and then I sat down to try and write it. I couldn't organize my thoughts. I couldn't write anything. I did 5 lines in 2 hours. It wasn't happening.
And extended brain fart.
Exactly. And it went on all day. And it just, so basically what I've done is I've written a bunch of dot points and I'm going to wing it.
Perfect. So, I'm ready.
Yeah. So, the story that I have for you today is actually a bit of a medical mystery.
Mm.
But it's got some unknowns throughout it. It's got that bit of paranormal thingy in there that we like. So, hopefully it's interesting.
Love a good paranormal thingy.
Yeah. Well, because it's a very... I've decided paranormal, I'm going to really break that down to just mean not normal. So, I'm just going to...
I always said, as long as it's not true crime, do it.
Yeah. I just like doing
things... Talk about fucking Bigfoot.
I will probably do Bigfoot at some point. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, I just like doing things that are interesting where you're like, oh, interesting. Maybe that's just me. But so the story I'm doing is the Sleeping Beauty of Okno. What are you laughing at?
You.
What's new?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. You were just like, I just like doing things interesting where you go, oh, interesting.
That's literally what I do. Like, I'll be...
And I'm going to change your name in my phone to Extended Brain Fart. Just hold on a minute.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Continue your story.
Thank you.
Fart away.
Perfect. Okay, so my story is The Sleeping Beauty of Okno.
Where?
Yep.
Bless you.
So Okno is a coastal town in Sweden.
Cool.
Yep. And the story takes place in 1875.
Dope.
So there was a woman named Carolina Olson, not Olson, like the Olson twins, Olson, because it's O-L-S-S-O-N. Some things to know is that during this period of time in Sweden, people were not overly educated. So there was a lot of, actually, I found a quote that you would really like. In the absence of education, there is spiritualism.
Hey, mm-hmm. That's cool. I would have said dumbassism, but that's fine.
That's the polite way of saying people believe what they want. So that kind of comes into play in a little bit, but just something to know. So in February of 1876, at the age of 14, Carolina went out and something happened to her. So the stories are either that she fell through the ice, because it's Sweden and it's freaking cold, or that she fell on the ice or something happened, but basically she came home and she was covered in bruises with a splitting headache and a toothache as well.
Oh.
So it kind of went up into her head and she was just in pain. So her mother decided to do the best thing ever and she was like, you should go to bed.
Yes, definitely go to sleep when you definitely have a concussion. Perfect idea.
Yeah, so she was sort of like, well, it was probably witches, so...
Broken leg, sleep it off.
Yeah, just go have a nap and you'll feel all better. Please don't do this, people. See a doctor. The crazy thing is they have doctors. So instead of being like, hey, we should check you out because you fell on the ice, she was just like, yeah, just go sleep it off. So she did. Carolina went to bed and she didn't wake up again until 1908.
Whoa.
32 years later.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Hence the name, The Sleeping Beauty of Okno.
Wow.
So While Carolina slept, her mother would force feed her 2 glasses of milk with dissolved sugar in it. Ugh. For nutrients.
Disgusting.
Well, she's asleep, so
all you need is milk and sugar.
Perfect.
Balanced diet.
I'm to be honest, I'm not 100% sure how she did this, because like when you're asleep, when you're like sleeping, you're not really like gonna be swallowing whole glasses of milk, so
tiny drops at a time. She absorbs it through her skin.
Possibly. I would not discredit that. And she would also, like, because it's her mum, like, she tended to her, so, like, brushed her hair and kept her all clean and things like that. But over the years, the Sleeping Beauty of Ochno became somewhat of a local legend. So people would come to see her and they'd basically just watch this girl sleep, which is pretty creepy when you think about it. So it wasn't until 1892, which was 16 years later, that a doctor finally visited her.
Wow.
Yep. Because remember,
they obviously didn't have very good doctors.
Well, yeah, I don't really know how she became a local legend, but also a doctor didn't come check her out in that time. But basically her family was like, no, witches, when the spell is over, she'll wake up again. No worries.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So finally in 1892, they had the idea of, yeah, we should probably get her checked out for a doctor or with a doctor.
When you think your daughter's been spelled by witches, call a fucking doctor.
Yes, just like get him to like double check that it's witches or something. I don't know.
Get him to confirm the witches.
Yes.
Always confirm your witches.
Yes.
Rule number 7.
But the doctor also wasn't great, because basically the doctor came in, diagnosed her with severe hysteria, and transported her to a local hospital for shock treatment. So they were like,
wait, who had hysteria? The chick that's been unconscious for 15 years. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
hysterical.
She's just so hysterical, she's asleep.
Give her cocaine, she'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, no, they were like, oh, we'll just shock her and then she'll be fine. So they took her to the hospital for shock treatment, which I'm like, yep, yeah, great.
They're confirming they're witches.
Yeah. So they did the shock treatment. Didn't work. She's still sleeping. So the next idea that...
She's unconscious.
She's also been unconscious for 16 years at this point. Like, she's not waking up. Their next bright idea was to poke her with some needles.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, didn't work.
Step 2 of confirming your witches.
Yep.
Shock, stab. What's next?
That was it.
Oh, no, so, third step?
No, so basically they shocked her, didn't wake her up. They then poked her with needles. And the interesting thing is she didn't even show a pain reaction. Like, usually if someone's asleep and you poke them, they'll be like...
She's not asleep. She's unconscious. It's different.
Well, yeah. But yeah, so she didn't show a pain reaction. And then pretty much she got sent home again to keep sleeping with a diagnosis of dementia paralytica, which I...
Witches.
Yeah.
They confirmed the witches.
Pretty much. Well, actually, I googled dementia paralytica and it's... associated with a lot of different conditions, but this doctor in particular was like, I think it's late stage syphilis, because dementia paralytica is a symptom of late stage
dementia paralytica just means like
paralysis of the insane. That's what it translates to.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
All right, yep, sure.
So in,
okay,
because I googled this, I was like, is this a real thing?
I'm gonna have a stroke.
Yeah. Well, because also remember when I did the asylum episode, like everyone was just diagnosed with dementia.
Mm.
It was very much a blanket term, but then they had this thing called dementia paralytica and I was like, no way, that's real. It's still used today, but the definition is very different. So for us, it's very...
It's catatonic.
Basically. But it's, yeah, it's basically like a massive trauma response that results in physical paralysis.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even describe...
It's like a shitty version of catatonia.
Well, it's without the cognitive side of it. So the dementia paralytica nowadays just means you can't move. So it's like, you know how sometimes people have a trauma and then all of a sudden they cannot move. But then like a week later they'll come back.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of what it means nowadays. But at this time they were like, dementia, can't move, dementia paralytica. And then they sent her home. And he was basically like, yeah, it's probably late stage syphilis. She had no other symptoms, but was like, yep, that's probably it. That was it.
Everything's because of syphilis.
Yeah, which is gross, but we'll just go with that. So pretty much Carolina was then taken back home to continue sleeping. She would be visited by other doctors sort of over the next however many years, but they never changed a diagnosis. They didn't offer her any more care. They basically walked in, was like, yep, dementia paralytica. Yep, still asleep. Off we go. That was it. 32 years, guys. Let's just remember that.
That's a really committed mum.
It is a very committed mum. She does die at some point, though, but...
The mum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty much for this entire time, she literally just slept. And I think one thing that definitely contributed to her lack of care, which we talked about before, was the very poor education of everyone around her.
And she definitely was unconscious, right? She's not sleeping. Like, she's not moving or something during the sleep.
I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Yeah. Because it does sound like sleeping, but there's some interesting stuff going on, which is why I'm talking about it rather than just being like, yeah, this bitch slept for 32 years. Like, cool. Yeah. There is some odd stuff going on. But
I think being asleep or even in a coma for 32 years with no apparent reason, like with no medical care or anything, is enough of a paranormal story on its own, to be honest. The fact that she wakes up. Anyway.
Yep. Basically, like, her brothers were allowed to go to school, but she wasn't. But she wanted to. Like, she was pretty smart. But, yeah. Her mum was basically like, yep, witches. The town was basically like, yep, witches. And then that was kind of it.
They confirmed they're witches. Fair enough.
Yep.
Diagnosis of witch is correct.
Mm-hmm. Clearly witches. So the reason this case is so mysterious is that while she was sleeping, there was a number of just really odd things that kind of happened. That don't really seem medically possible. So the first was that although for the whole time she was asleep, she never spoke, she would make little moans in her sleep and she would toss and turn a little bit like you're sleeping, which is not typical of comas and stuff. Mm. But she appeared to be aware of stimuli around her. So for example, in 1905, her mother passed away, which she loved her mother and that was her primary caregiver. And she cried her eyes out while still fast asleep. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So it's like...
I hate this now.
Oh, yeah. It gets weird.
I didn't mind when I just thought she was in a coma.
Yeah. No, not a coma. Like, she would sort of, you know, snore and she would turn and she would be like... and she would dream and things like that, but just for 32 years.
All right. It's definitely witches.
Yeah.
I agree with the doctors.
Secondly, the 2 glasses of sugared milk is nowhere near enough nutrition to sustain a growing teenage girl, let alone a fully grown woman, because she did continue to age. Yet, somehow, although Carolina lost some weight, she still appeared to be healthy and nourished to a decent extent.
It's a new fad diet going through Hollywood. It's a Sleeping Beauty diet, and it's just 2 glasses of milk with just a spoonful of sugar in it.
You know what? Don't even put that out there, because people will try it. Thirdly... despite spending 32 years in bed, her muscles were not atrophied at all. Yep. Which, if anyone doesn't know what atrophy means, usually if you spend even like 6 months, if you like break a leg and you're bedridden for 6 months, your muscles will atrophy to an extent, which means
less than 6 months.
Oh yeah. It really doesn't take much, but you'll get weakened. Like, you'd usually have muscle weakness. You wouldn't really be able to walk. That's why people in comas, like, they might try and get up, but they can't. So they're just like, what the fuck? Yeah. She wasn't atrophied at all. Like, wow. She was fine. In fact, one of the first things she did when she woke up was start pacing the room and crying. Just straight out of bed. No worries.
No.
Yeah. Which, like, I know she was, like, tossing and turning a little bit, but that's not enough to sustain muscle mass. So, yeah, very weird.
It's all that goddamn milk.
Yeah.
Calcium. She's all bone.
Milk is different in Sweden.
Stronger. It's you know, my dad once convinced one of my friends that when we were at a place in Fiji that the water there was wetter. She was like, I can feel it.
Oh, I can feel it.
She's
wow.
Brilliant. She's a brilliant girl now, but just then she's like, I can feel it. I was like, oh, fuck.
Really? How? Oh my God.
So there you go, guys. The water is wetter in Fiji.
Yep. There's a fact. Fourthly... Which is fourthly a word? Because I don't think I've ever said it in my life.
Yeah.
Fourthly? Okay, cool.
Oh, no, sure.
Word seems to think it's a word, so I'm going to go with that.
If word agrees that word is word, then word.
Yeah.
Water is wetter in Fiji.
I think we have the stupids a bit today. Okay, so fourthly, Carolina didn't appear to age normally. So she did age, but it was much more slowly to the normal rate of aging. So, like, for this whole time, she was still looking pretty youthful and healthy. And
probably she hasn't been outside in 30-something years.
Well, probably, but apparently it was, like,
also all that milk.
It's all the milk, guys. Sugar and milk. Dream cure.
I know. I don't even like the concept of just drinking a whole glass of milk.
I don't drink it at all. I just, no, can't deal with it. But she did. But no, apparently, so when she woke up, I think she was 46 years old when she woke up, but apparently she still looked like she was in her
20s. Imagine going to bed as like a 14-year-old when you're at 46. So scary.
It is. Actually, I talk about when she woke up in a minute, but so yeah, she didn't age the same. And then lastly, Carolina's hair and nails seemed to grow at a rapid and healthy rate. But I also found another article that said they didn't grow at all. So something went on with the hair and nails, but some of them say it grew too fast and some of them said it grew too slowly. So okay. I'm not sure. But something happened. I just don't
Something know. Was not correct.
Something was not correct, no. So after the death of Carolina's mother, the family hired a housekeeper to help care for the Sleeping Beauty, and it was noted that her level of care dropped considerably compared to what her mother would do. So yeah, the level of care dropped significantly, which you would expect. Like, it's very different, your mother caring for you to like a housekeeper. But I'll talk about this a little bit more when I get into theories. So in 1908, which was 3 years after Carolina's mother died and 32 years since she first started sleeping, Carolina just suddenly woke up one day. And she was discovered by the housekeeper, who heard thumping and crying coming from Carolina's room. She was now 46 years old. She was 14 when she went to sleep and was just completely freaking out. She didn't recognize her brothers anymore. She was just completely bewildered by the world around her. It was too bright. She had no idea what was going on. She didn't recognize herself.
The wheel was slightly more round than it was before.
But there were still witches, though. And she had no memory of the last 32 years. Just didn't remember a thing. But I watched another video, and this was not mentioned anywhere else, so I didn't know whether to put it in or not, but there was a, this video said that she could remember the dreams that she had, so that she was dreaming and she was kind of having events around her in her dreams and things like that, but she didn't specifically remember sleeping for that long or anything like that.
Imagine having 32 years worth of dreams in your head.
You know what? I'm so tired. I just think, gee, 32 years of sleep would be good right about now. Kidding. So obviously once she was awake, an absolute storm of doctors descended upon her and were just like,
now the fucking doctors show up.
Now they care. So they examined her and they found that she was mostly unaffected from sleeping for 32 years, which is probably one of the weirdest things of all. So at the time of examination, she had lost a considerable amount of weight, which if you remember, she didn't before. So over the last 3 years that her mother has died, she lost a lot of weight.
Wasn't getting enough milk.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But she still had all of her faculties. Like, she was able to move, and she kind of didn't want to speak very much at first, but they think that was more just adjustment. She was just shocked being awake again. But after a little bit of time, she could move perfectly fine. She did regain her strength and weight back. She was tested and she was above average in intelligence. So there seemed to be no adverse effects from her being asleep for so long.
Hmm.
Which is just not really medically possible, if you think about it.
For 32 years, with no, like, medical, like, modern technology, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, nowadays, like, if people are in comas and stuff, you actually have, like, physiotherapists come in and they move all your muscles for you and they do rehab and stuff, but she had none of that. So, let's get into some theories. The fun part. The first theory is hibernation. So the first thing that they thought was that perhaps due to some sort of injury, Carolina's brain triggered a hibernation state, which is not really ever possible for humans.
I didn't think we did that.
We don't. That's the whole thing. But they sort of looked at it and they were like,
she's part bear.
Yeah. They were like, this looks like hibernation to me, which would explain things like her aging more slowly, her lower metabolism and not needing as much nutrients. And if her hair and nails were slower, that would explain that. But it just, biologically speaking, doesn't make a whole lot of sense because we're not wired that way. We're not built that way. Otherwise, I think all of us would enjoy a quick little hibernation here and there. But yeah, so that was sort of an early theory. The next theory is a lot, but it's probably the most plausible. So theory number two is severe trauma-induced avoidance. So it's been suggested that perhaps Carolina didn't fall on or through the ice that day, that actually she had a horrible trauma. The most popular theory is that she was attacked by a group of likely men. I think we can all...
Why did I think you were going to say bears?
Because we were talking about hibernation.
Just attacked by a group of bears.
It could have been bears.
Could have been bears.
Could have been bears. I would rather be attacked by bears than some other possibilities. But yeah, basically people think that a whole group of men attacked her in some capacity. It was so traumatic that she just could not cope anymore. She came home. She had this story that, you know, oh, I fell through the ice. And basically she just wanted to avoid the world and that her
mother... I wonder if she was wet when she came home.
Didn't say.
Hmm.
I mean, it's snowing, so if she was, I don't know if that would make you particularly soaked or... I don't know.
Yeah.
The main thing was the bruises, because she did walk home as well, so...
Yeah.
You know. But basically the theory is that she just wanted to avoid the world now and that her mother actually helped her. So what people think was that when it was just her and her mother, she would eat normally, drink normally, she would be awake and doing whatever. But as soon as her brothers were around, because all of her brothers say that they didn't see her do anything but sleep. They were like, I've only ever seen her sleep. But maybe when it was just the two of them, because the boys did go off to school, the husband...
Oh, yeah. She had like a decent amount of time during the day to potentially be moving and doing stuff. Yeah,
exactly. That perhaps her mother helped to keep up the lie. So there is sort of... Oh, also, the housekeeper had a lot to say as well. So she claims that if she left any sort of hard candies or anything in the room, that she would come back and they would be gone. So she Same. Was like, I think that she was eating them. And it was also the fact that, you know, she lost a lot of weight once her mother died and just little things like that that do support this theory. But my whole thing is, that's a very long time to keep up a lie. Like 32 years of pretending to be asleep. I mean, I have CPTSD, so I understand trauma really well, but it's like, I understand avoidance, but to pretend that you're asleep for 32 years.
This is the 1800s, early 1900s though, so yeah. Like, maybe.
It's not impossible, but it's just a long time, and it's also...
And then also she was a kid when it happened.
Yeah.
So, that's just like her new fucking normal now.
Yeah, it would... I mean, I could sort of understand it if maybe the mother had like a Munchausen's by proxy type thing, where she was like, oh my god, like you're so sick, like just pretend to be asleep and you'll just be with me forever, like... I could understand if that was as well, like, a factor, but I can't imagine her mother in, like, kind of regular faculties being like, oh, yeah, just, like, hide away forever. Like, you know.
Not- well, I guess also, though, if it was something where she did suffer a trauma, where she was attacked by a group of... That kind of ruins her future prospects and stuff as well.
Yeah, it does.
Back then. So...
I think that's the thing. Like, this theory is probably the most plausible.
And sometimes mums are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's also...
Did anybody ever find out if her mum was a witch?
They did not.
Hmm.
Maybe she was claiming witch because she was a witch. There you go.
Confirm your witches, people.
The other thing that I didn't like about this theory was that when she woke up 32 years later, she was totally fine. So, like, she didn't have any signs of trauma, or she wasn't sort of... You know, like, if she'd had such a strong trauma... response, and then to just suddenly like flick a switch and be like, nope, I'm awake, I'm totally fine, hi guys, like that doesn't quite make sense to me.
Yeah,
again, not impossible, but that was
not probable.
Yeah. It was also interesting that you know, she was asleep for 29 years and then her mother died, and then 3 years later she woke up.
Yeah,
which is sort of a bit iffy, so you know.
Very slow releasing poison or something in the milk.
Could be.
Takes 3 years for it to come out of your system.
Maybe that's what it is. Theory number three is something otherworldly, ?
Witches.
Yep. So some people just think that this case is just too bizarre, that there's some stuff that cannot be explained, that it's all 100% legit, and so it could be witches. It could be an alien-induced coma. It could be... something else.
Why does that one make me laugh the most?
Because it's alien-induced coma.
What is the benefit for the aliens? I feel like aliens always need to have it. Like, witches can be vindictive.
Yep.
Like, that's fine. Maybe she called someone old. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But I feel like aliens need to have a reason for things that they do. Putting a 14-year-old in a coma for 32 years... doesn't seem very beneficial to them.
I mean, unless they wanted to study, like, what happens to a human.
Wouldn't they keep her?
I don't know. I was kind of just, remember, my brain was not functioning this day. And I was,
no, what? That's my favorite one.
Oh, okay, cool. So that one's decided.
Oh, no, it definitely didn't happen. It's just my favorite.
I was just pulling shit out of thin air at this point. But yeah, basically, pretty much people with this case just sit there and go, well.
Just one big shrug.
Yeah.
It's a historic shrug.
Pretty much. Theory number four is... It's possible, but it doesn't fit the proper condition. So there's a condition called Sleeping Beauty Syndrome, or KLS, Klein-Levin Syndrome. It is thought that maybe this case is just a very extreme version of that. But these are the diagnostic criteria for KLS. So it's characterized by recurrent episodes of hypersomnia, but it's usually 2 to 31 days. So it's like, it's a long time. But it's not that long. It's also, you also have to have, I believe it's 2 to 4 of the following characteristics, which are cognitive abnormalities. So things like distraction, difficulty concentrating, hallucinations, things like that.
Extended brain farts.
Yep. I might have it. No, I don't sleep, so I don't have it.
The opposite.
Abnormal behavior. So, you know, outbursts, things like that. Binge eating and hypersexuality, but it also has to be interspersed with long periods of normal sleep, normal behavior, and normal mood. So it's very much like an episodic condition.
Right.
So some people sat there and they were like, well, it's just a really extreme case of KLS, but I'm like, she didn't have that swinging between states, and it's also she slept for 32 years.
The only thing out of that is the sleeping.
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
I know, I didn't really think so.
Witches or aliens. Yeah. Not aliens, definitely aliens.
That was basically my conclusion.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's basically the whole story. And then pretty much she just woke up and basically the doctors came in and did all their tests and they were like, nope, she's fine. And then she was kind of a celebrity for a while and then she died in her 80s, perfectly healthy.
That's so fucking weird.
It is. She literally just woke up and was fine. That was it. And she slept for 32 years. Well, allegedly, but...
That's bonkers.
Yeah. Absolutely mental.
What?
Yeah. That was basically my reaction. Like, I read it and I was just like, sorry, what? And, like, basically this town of Okno, like, this is what it's known for. Like, this case.
I like the idea that she was either faking it.
Yep.
Or that it was witches.
Yeah. I think it's one of those two. I don't think anything else really explains it. Because, I mean, even when she was taken to the hospital, like, she still wasn't flinching when they stabbed her with needles and stuff. So, something was happening.
That would be hard to fake.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're in, like, some deep meditative state where you're like, don't fucking move. Like,
I just knocked her out.
Yeah. Maybe they overdid it with the electroshock therapy and she was just really unconscious.
She was genuinely unconscious then.
I don't know, maybe.
That's crazy. That was a great story.
I thought it was a pretty great story, but
I think that was fabulous.
Thank you.
I don't know how to go on from that. My brain hurts.
I know. It's kind of one of those where you're just like, it shouldn't have been possible and I can't rule it out, but it also might not have happened and I'm just broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's great. Mm. I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was very good. I don't know I'm transition queen usually and I can't think of a way out of this.
I feel like we need a like a palate cleanser, but not because it's anything bad, just like let's get our brains working again. Or did I watch anything this week? I've been watching New Girl again. It's a cute show.
Yeah, I finished New Girl not that long ago.
What do you think of the ending without giving spoilers?
I thought they did it well. I think it was actually one of the only, like, season finales of a show where I've not been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, in either a disappointed or an angry or, you know.
Or in a, like, dissatisfied way where you're like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, like, I felt fine that it was over.
It was
like, not because it had gotten shit or anything, but just because, like, I was like, oh.
Yeah, and it was, like, good. It was, like, ready to end and they kind of did it well. And
yeah, I think it was a very, very satisfactory finale for a show.
Yeah.
Have you watched, what's that one, the musical? There's a musical one.
Oh, oh my god.
No, I haven't watched it, but I think I should.
Zoe's Extraordinary playlist.
Is it good?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I have not caught up on any recent episodes, and it's like months ago.
No, I haven't watched it at all.
I think I will watch it. I think it's on Stan.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I think my sister watched it and she was like, it's not very good. And I was like, oh.
The first episode, I was like, what the fuck is this? For like two or three episodes in, I was like, fuck yeah!
Well, because it's got the guy from Pitch Perfect in it.
Yeah, it does.
I love
that. That poor dude's been typecast.
Oh, yes, he has. He can only play the musical heartthrob, and that's about it.
It's not even that. It's just like, I guess you haven't watched any of it, but it's like, no. It's the guy that always has feelings for the girl, and she's just not quite there.
Aww.
You know, he's always the best friend that's in love with you, kind of. Oh, poor man.
That makes me sad. Did you watch, what was it called? Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
No.
Oh, he was in that as well. Like, similar role as well.
Yeah, he's definitely been typecast.
Oh, buddy.
Poor dude.
We love him. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
But.
Anyway, thanks so much for sticking around with us. Make sure you hop over to the Instagram and follow us there.
Look at the link tree.
Yes, go on the link tree. We've got, I think, 4 or 5 stories in the submissions now. So
I'm so excited.
Yeah, that we will be doing something with those soon, I promise. We'd like to get a few more in there. So keep sending them in. If you've got creepy stories, hometowns, crimes, or just anything that you're like, this is like a local legend and I want to tell you about it, write us the story.
Yeah.
We want to hear it. We want to know all about it.
Or like weird coincidences or something bizarre that happened to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Just anything. I mean, I probably have a bunch of stories I could tell, but I want to hear your stories.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely do. So thanks very much for listening, everyone, and send us your things. And I hope you enjoy us talking about Netflix for like half an hour at the start and the end of this. Whatever. Shut up. It's our podcast.
It's all we do, guys.
Don't forget to confirm your witches.
Yep.
And fuck you, Denise. No, what was her name?
Doris.
Doris. Fuck you too, Denise. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Fuck.